This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A federal indictment came down today against First Energy Corp, the utility operation embroiled in the investigation that led to charges against former Ohio House Speaker Larry Householder surrounding a sweeping nuclear bailout bill known as House Bill 6. We will have analysis of today's news coming up a little bit later in this show. That news conference downtown is still going on. But first, as parents and students gear up to go back to school next month, there is uncertainty about whether public schools will be able to require vaccines against COVID-19. And meanwhile, local researchers are entering phase two, clinical trials on the Pfizer vaccine for children under the age of 12. And those trials could be an important part of that puzzle. Joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about the vaccine trials and how COVID-19 has been impacting young people locally are Cincinnati Children's Hospital Vaccine Research Center Director, Dr. Robert Frank. Dr. Frank, welcome back to our show.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
And we also have with us Cincinnati Children's Hospital Associate Division Director for Primary Care, Mary Carol Burkhart. Mary Carol, welcome to you also.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Dr. Frank, where are we with these trials? What does it mean to be in phase two?
Well, it means that we relooked at the doses after the adult doses and found that really good news is that we could use even less amount of vaccine and get the same immune response as they were getting in adults. So we took those lower doses and now we're going to be evaluating in bigger number of children.
Is that unusual with vaccines that you might need a smaller dose for kids?
No, actually, that we see that the dose we use for flu vaccine in a six-month-old is the same we use in a 65-year-old. It's actually when we get a little more mature that we need to increase our vaccine dose. So I'm really not surprised that the kids responded really well to a lower dose.
I should also note that if you're listening and you have questions about kids and vaccines returning to school in the fall and what your thoughts are about whether they should be masked, you can join the conversation today at 513-419-7100 or email your questions, thoughts, and comments to talk at wvxu.org. Let's get a brief overview on how COVID has impacted kids in the greater Cincinnati area. Mary Carol Burkhart, again, is the Associate Division Director for Primary Care at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Mary Carol, have we seen many cases involving children?
We definitely have seen cases involving kids. The good news is, for the most part, to this point, kids have had slightly less severe disease than older people, which is wonderful. That being said, kids certainly have been affected, and they're affected in different ways. The disease burden may not be as bad, but we also know kids have had a lot of mental health problems being out of school and suffering from social isolation. We know their educational progress has been stunted through this pandemic. And so the effects of COVID on kids have certainly been there, but I think each person has been affected in different ways.
Dr. Frank, I read an article from WCPO that noted it was a little more than a year ago that about 2% of the cases in the U.S. involving COVID were in children. And earlier this month, nearly a quarter of the cases are in children. Are the vaccines the big difference here?
So what we're seeing is that the number of kids that are infected, like you said, of all the COVID cases, 24% of them have been in children in the last few weeks. And that's, so what that means is actually children are overrepresented in the percentage of cases. So only 17% of the population are in the pediatric age group. So we're seeing more and more cases in kids, and this is why we really think the vaccine's so important.
Now, what is the risk to the greater population, since we still aren't legally able yet to administer the vaccine to children under the age of 12? We're waiting on the results of these trials, obviously, and approval from the federal government. What's the threat to the general population, knowing that there are people out there who cannot get the vaccine right now?
So I would look at it the other way and to say what we do generally in vaccines. And Dr. Burkhart, I think, would be the same thing with her. She would be saying with our other pediatric vaccines, there's some kids or some adults we can't vaccinate. And so because of that, we try to get everyone else that can be vaccinated so that we protect the people that aren't able to be vaccinated. And so that's why it's so critical, everybody 12 and above, to be vaccinated, to be able to give the best protection we can for the people under 12 that don't have access to vaccine yet.
Dr. Burkhart, first, I just want to apologize. I've been calling you Mary Carol. I didn't realize that you had doctor before your name there. It wasn't in my notes, and so I do apologize. But if you wanted to add on to what Dr. Frank was saying, please go ahead.
Yeah, no worries at all. I completely agree with Dr. Frank. I think the emphasis right now has to be on getting all of our adolescents and those eligible to be vaccinated. I think given the rise in prevalence of the Delta variant, going back to school where kids are going to be again in closer environments with other people, the best thing we can do to protect all of our kids is getting as many people vaccinated right now as we can. And this is a great time to do it as kind of that back to school rush is happening. I think a lot of families at first were, you know, kind of waiting and seeing and wanted to see if, you know, their friends and families were getting their adolescents vaccinated. But the time is now on it. And I know we have that experience that kids have been vaccinated and have been handling it extremely well. And the more people we have protected, the better off our kids are going to be this school year.
Dr. Burkhart, what are the questions that you're hearing the most from families as it relates to this issue?
I think families just want to know that it's safe. I think there's been so much in the media, you know, as this came about very quickly. And yes, it did, but it didn't skip any of those important steps. So what I'm hearing most is families want reassurance that, yes, this is safe, this is effective, and it's the right thing to do for their children. I think when we have these conversations, a lot of families do, you know, open up and become accepting. They just kind of need that little reassurance to get over the hump that this is important for them to do. Of course, we do have families who ask questions about some of the things that, again, you hear, you know, reports on social media about fertility and different things like that are not true, that this vaccine does not affect those things. And our job is to clear those up. And so that's, you know, our job as pediatricians, and we like having those conversations when families do have questions. We appreciate when they ask so that we can get good information out there.
And again, if you have questions while you're listening, give us a call at 513-419-7100. We're talking with Dr. Robert Frank. He's Vaccine Research Center Director at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. We're also joined by Dr. Mary Carol Burkhart, the Associate Division Director for Primary Care at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Dr. Frank, school districts across the country, including here locally, are considering what to do about kids returning to in-person learning on a more full-time and regular basis just next month. It's right around the corner again. I'm sorry to say to any young people who are listening, school is about to be back in session. One large school district in our area, Kenton County Schools, has said that masks will be required on buses, but pretty much optional for unvaccinated children in the schools. Do we think that that's the right decision?
Well, what I can tell you is that we know that having masks and having appropriate distancing are effective, that they're 85%+ effective against transmission of the virus, and that the vaccines are that much that effective or better. You know, I can understand that everybody wants to be done with COVID. I do too. We're getting closer, but we're not quite there yet. So I think it would be in our best interest is everybody keeps our guard up for a bit more. And then as soon as we have vaccines and we get the people vaccinated, that will allow us to decrease those other measures.
Dr. Burkhart, I'd like to ask you the same question, basically. I guess as school districts weigh this, again, we'll see a sort of piecemeal approach in this region, just as we saw across the country in relation to COVID response. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are as school districts weigh what to do on whether kids should be masked in school buildings.
It's a really important question, and I think school districts are weighing a lot of really tough decisions. The American Academy of Pediatrics has come out and really stated that children age 2 and up in the school settings, the recommendation is to continue wearing masks universally. So that's from the AAP or American Academy of Pediatrics. And the reason is most schools have a blend of ages, a blend of kids who can and can't get vaccinated. Additionally, there's not a lot of ways that schools can readily and easily track who has and hasn't been vaccinated. And so it could lead to a lot of confusion without consistency around this. And that's something that schools will have to manage. But that is kind of the justification from the AAP.
Dr. Frank, what's the timeline now? You're in phase 2 of this, but when do we think that we might see approval on this thing and that kids under 12 will be eligible to get the vaccine?
Well, so the word, I would say authorization, Michael, and approval are two different words.
You're
and so
correct. That's
authorization is with the emergency use authorization is that potentially that could be as soon as September. But if the FDA says that they want to wait until full approval rather than authorization, that would be then more toward the end of the year, like December, January of 2022.
And Dr. Burkhart, we know that children don't like getting shots, probably more so than we do as adults, where we sort of suck it up and just deal with it. But as kids think about this, what's a message for children?
So I would say, I'll tell you, we honestly find some of both, and not always true. There are some kids who are out there saying, please, I want my turn to be vaccinated. Their lives have been upturned by this pandemic, and they have lost a lot. They've lost a school year. They've lost their sports seasons. So we have many kids who are saying, Mom, please let me get the vaccine. There's some who are anxious and ready to get it. And those who are more fearful of vaccination, we see that in kids and adults. That's certainly a real fear that many people have. You know, what I try and say is, you are strong. You can handle this. Prevention is always going to be the best medicine. So, you know, yes, it's a little bit of suffering to get that vaccine today. It's going to hurt your arm for just a short bit. But prevention is definitely the best medicine. And we know kids are strong and tough and absolutely can handle this.
Dr. Frank, how have the children participating in the trial reacted, not biologically, but just emotionally?
Well, you know, so I would echo what Dr. Burkhart was saying as far as I think that the kids have been really doing it for society, you know, and I mean, the younger ones that don't really understand necessarily the societal part, but the teenagers came in and I asked them, I said, why'd you participate? Because I need to show people it's important to do. If I don't do it, who does? And I've had people say, I'm a young woman of color. I need to have other people in my age group, my demographics, see that it's safe to do. And I had a 3-year-old come in and I walked in. I said, hi, how are you today? It goes, I'm good. I'm getting my COVID vaccine today. I said, I am. You are? She goes, yes, I am. And so that, just like what Dr. Burkhart was saying, is that the children really have accepted it well and done well and been very proud to be wearing their stickers to say, I've been vaccinated.
I was just going to second that. When kids were being vaccinated late in the school year, there was, you know, kids wanted extra stickers that say, I got vaccinated, because they wanted to put them on their book bags to show, you know, to show their friends that they were part of this. And I think that great camaraderie and kind of spirit was really exciting to see. I think our kids are being leaders in some ways on this.
What is your message to children who might be in households that are not supportive of the vaccine, either through hesitancy or just outright rejection of it? They can't get it on their own. Is there a message for them?
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And we have seen that a bit. I recommend having just bridging the conversation, opening the conversation, saying, Mom, Dad, you know, this is something I'm thinking about. I think it's important. I want to do it. And I encourage those families to come talk to their providers. I think sometimes getting good information can really help those parents also feel better about it. We certainly don't want to coerce anyone or, you know, guilt anybody into getting this. But I think getting the right information to families is good. In our primary care centers, we are offering vaccine not only to our patients, but any household members that come with them. And so we also have had that experience of like, oh, yeah, Mom, you need to get this too. And then we get that mom registered and they get the vaccine together. And I really love seeing that, because I think that's what it takes, that we talk about this in our families and in our local communities and, you know, make good informed decisions together. So I encourage any kids who really want this vaccine and are not in supportive families, keep talking about it. We want families, again, to feel comfortable, and sometimes they need a little bit of time, but I think this is a good time.
Our guests are Dr. Robert Frank, Cincinnati Children's Hospital Vaccine Research Center Director, and Dr. Mary Carol Burkhart, Cincinnati Children's Hospital Associate Division Director for Primary Care. We know this Delta variant is out there and becoming the dominant strain in a lot of areas and of great concern to just about every area. And I'm wondering, Dr. Frank, if this is playing a role at all in the vaccine research. I think we've seen promising results as it relates to the vaccine and this variant so far. But when the virus continues to mutate or evolve like this, is that a challenge in vaccine research?
Sure, it's a challenge, but I think I'm going to sound a little bit like a broken record, Michael, but to me, the biggest thing we can do is go get everybody vaccinated, because if we get people vaccinated, the virus can't find someone to infect. And if it can't find someone to infect, it can't mutate, and we can't have these variants. So our best protection against the variants is getting everybody vaccinated. And the great news is that the all the vaccines that we have available through EUA are showing extremely good protection against moderate to severe illness. And by that, I mean people that are having to be hospitalized or in the ICU or even die from COVID has been dramatically reduced from the vaccines. You know, since January, 99% of the deaths from COVID in the United States have been in people that have not been vaccinated. And 97% of the hospitalizations since January have been in people that have not been vaccinated. So the vaccines are working and they work against the variants.
But as you note there, you know, you want to have people vaccinated so that the virus doesn't have anybody else to infect and then possibly go on to mutate and into more dangerous strains or at least more transmissible strains. We heard the term herd immunity a lot over the past year and part of this year as we try to vaccinate as many people or deal with people who gain natural immunity after being infected by the virus. But vaccine distribution overall, while they're available, it just seems to have slowed so dramatically. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are once there is authorization for kids and the role that that could play in elevating that percentage of the population that is vaccinated and slowing these variants.
Well, 17% of our population is under 18 years of age. So by having the bigger group that's available for having vaccine is going to allow us to get closer toward that 70%+ of the population immunized. And until we have that ability to vaccinate young children, it's even more important of getting all the adults vaccinated as possible. And that this is the same thing we do with other vaccines. Like I say, we vaccinate the people we can, so we protect the people that are unable to get vaccinated yet.
We got a message from Shannon who called and left this question. Should someone, a child or an adult, get the vaccine if they've already had COVID?
Yes. How about that for a short answer?
Yeah, of course. And so that's actually playing in, you know, we have a United States Senator in Kentucky and Rand Paul. We have a Northern Kentucky Congressman and Thomas Massey both say they contracted COVID-19 and I believe have not come, you know, have not said publicly whether they've gotten the vaccine because they're relying on that natural immunity. Is that the wrong approach?
Well, what I can tell you is that if you get a vaccine after a natural infection, you still get a good boost. I thought what you were going to say as far as that people are saying they got a vaccine and they still got an infection. And that's one of the things I think people have to understand is that we may have set the bar too high and thinking that if you get a vaccine, you're never going to get anything. But what I would say is that the vaccinations have prevented people from being hospitalized, preventing people from the ICU, preventing people from dying. You still may have the chance of getting a runny nose, a little bit of a cough, but as far as getting the serious infection, these vaccines are preventing it. And if people have had the disease, we're still recommending getting a vaccine because we do see that you boost your immunity a lot.
We heard President Biden say again just yesterday here in Cincinnati, actually, that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And Dr. Burkhart, we're also seeing some voices that might have been a little more confusing on this issue in the media and in politics start to be more explicitly in favor of encouraging people to be vaccinated. Do you see the possibility? I guess I'm asking you to look into a crystal ball that you may not possess, but do you see, another, I don't know, shot of momentum coming for American vaccine consumption?
My crystal ball is cloudy, but I do. I mean, I hope so. I really hope this back to school push is something that helps boost the rates. I know I'm speaking as a parent myself, having three children, some of who are too young to get vaccinated. I hope we do, because I think I would love to see a regular school year for our kids. I would love to see them stay in school, their teachers be healthy, and those kids be healthy. And so I think this back to school time, I hope with the risk of the Delta variant circulating, I hope we do get that little bump in vaccination. Now, we've had a little bit of history where most people know somebody who's been vaccinated, ask questions of other people, but I think this is the time to do it. So I really hope that crystal ball shows we do get a boost here.
Dr. Mary Carol Burkhart is Associate Division Director for Primary Care at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and Dr. Robert Frank is Cincinnati Children's Hospital Vaccine Research Center Director. Good luck with the ongoing vaccine trials. We'll look forward to talking again. You've been very generous with your time, and we hope to chat again. Thanks to both of you for the time today.
Thanks
for having us.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.